Last time on Lawful Stupid. You've appeared back into the Sun Elf Kingdom as you stand at the front gate that you came in through just a couple days ago. And then about 100 feet out from you is the White Dragonborn. I'll be at the catacombs, waiting for you to bring me the scale. You have a few options. One, you can bring me the scale and everything is well. We might lose the sleepers. Or I can release them into the world. The choice is yours. And you see a scythe come through the fabric of reality, and Nova steps backwards into it.
What is the death we need? Where are we going?
We gotta go to where the fire giant is. It's in this giant's eye. It's like, for whatever reason, this giant has red eye. I don't get it.
When I opened the door last night, when there was rumbling, it looked like the volcano was very active. Might be a little hot.
As she runs out and like phases through the door, she's dropped down on her knees. And she's like weeping. And she like wipes her eyes and she stands up and she turns and she puts her hands on your shoulders, William. And she says, "He's here. The Megalos. He's back."
As you were next.
Actually, William, this next part, you have to do alone. There is an opening carved into the stone.
If I've ever seen a welcome mat, that's the thing. I go in there.
As she, in your head, says, "Something is not right." And as you get to the pedestal, there is a red scale.
I pick it up.
Suddenly from behind you, a tendril that wraps around your waist from behind you, and it pulls you down. Pulled down toward presumably lava in this volcano by this, in fact, tentacle that had come up and lashed around his waist and is pulling him down.
Hey, Devin, I entirely mean to be pedantic, but can we just...
What'd you call me?
A pedantic. I called you a pedantic. Okay. So, while it's inside the volcano, I do believe it's magma.
All right, we'll go ahead and shut you up.
Okay, all right.
do you know what the mute button is? Because we found it.
You know what?
Thanks, Twitter.
Shame on me. Shame on me for trying to bring some scientific integrity.
It's
to this.
Beneath the surface of the Earth, so facts.
Yeah, but it has an open lid.
Boy.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's like no... It's like... Now I
brought it up as a question. I think it might be magma.
You gotta fucking edit this shit out.
We used to have someone who knew, but I don't know what happened to him.
Or this becomes a science podcast all of a sudden?
No.
Yes, we tricked him. That's what our plan was all along.
And now introducing today's guest episode, Sir William Nye, the science guy.
So, William, as you are careening, being pulled... down
diving
forcefully.
Head first. Yeah, I got it.
I think you are able to turn and look. What do you do?
What do I see, boss?
I don't know. I think there's a little magma. There's this little lava. There's a little hot rock.
What is this? Okay. No. DM. There is a tentacle around me. So it's either a tentacle of magma or it's attached to a creature.
Oh, the tentacle itself. Yes, it is a physical, like, tentacle. It's red in nature. It takes up your entire waist.
Describe to me the texture.
The girth.
The texture.
The texture. It's fishy.
It's scaly.
Fishy.
No.
Would you describe it
like
as a rocket
slug.
In any kind of
like
way? Rocket up towards me.
It's like some sort of invertebrate.
Well, stop calling me names, dude. Yes, it's...
okay, so I don't see a creature. The tentacle's coming from the magma.
No, but you do see that it goes down back into the magma. larger, obviously, as the closer it gets, because this tentacle is larger at the base, and it is pulling you down.
How dare you?
I have five notes to draw this
out. You look around, and you see that like there are no other outcroppings as you get pulled in this volcano than when you got pulled off of.
Okay, so, all right, cool.
So presumably the beast is in the magma.
That's true.
Reaching so, one room.
Trying to put a game face.
What are you guys doing, man?
Jokes.
I gotta get my video camera on just so I can stare at you just disapprovingly. That way you know.
Appreciate that. So William writes himself, so he's face down, staring at the magma, and says to Eshi, "Oh no, face down." He's diving motion and says, "It was nice knowing you, Eshi." And I'm fucking going. I'm diving into it.
Is this like Fortnite out of the?
He kicks on his rocket boots. You use the flame propulsion to make yourself go down faster.
Yeah, I'm diving motion. Let's go. I'm being pulled down. Let's go on my terms.
Roll a perception check for me.
You perceive that magma will be painful on your skin.
Yeah, I got it. All right, let's see.
And then roll a history check to remember if this is good or not.
Seven is my perception check.
What's your passive? Give me your passive. I think that might even work.
11.
Yeah, it's hard to make an active perception check when you're driven into a volcano.
I feel like you'd have advantage because you'd be like senses heightened for just whatever amount of time.
If I was supposed to succeed, just tell me what I'm supposed to know.
No, you're not supposed to succeed. You're pulled in faster and faster. This hot air swooping around your face, and as she says, "Just hang on."
I did. I'm diving.
I don't know what the impact of lava. Okay, you're not gonna actually hit the lava as you.
I know what noise it makes. Oh, Devin, please pick me. I know what noise it makes.
Wait, molten lava. This specifically?
Yeah, I know what noise it makes specifically when William dives into lava. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the noise?
Yeah.
No.
Pew! Douche! Because he's a douche.
Yeah. It was good.
It's the old joke. What noise does a marine make when they jump in the water?
Douche. That hits home.
That. We do love ragging on the Marine Corps.
Anyways, the lava opens up, the magma, and now you see as you're like falling through like a tunnel.
Yeah, it's made a tunnel. Got it.
Into a tunnel, and it begins to narrow as you are pulled down.
It's narrowing like at a steady pace, like
steady pace. At your free fall
hands
speed,
down,
yes.
Face first, start blasting fire. I'm gonna race this thing to the bottom.
Okay, so you're blasting fire as so it's still like So even like the tension that was on the tentacle begins to release, and then it like pulls again even harder, and now you are like supersonic speed.
Hey, Ashley, do you know what the fuck this thing is, by the way?
It's an old friend! Just chill out!
It's that old TikTok. What's that TikTok audio? It's just like, "I'm starting to wonder now, very seriously, if I might have made a huge error."
Yeah. I asked that question after I'm rocketing towards the bottom.
Suddenly, this tunnel opens up into a giant expanse. If you were to view it from like a movie from a side angle, you just see this tiny dot falling slowly towards some bottom. Just very slowly. Sick. Back to you, free falling. It's darkness all around. Suddenly, like the walls begin to glow like a blue with a blue flame. As you look down, there is like this giant looking mushy looking substance at the bottom.
Reverse. Small spurts to slow my descent. Yeah, that's all I got. I can't fly.
I think that works. You've gotten pretty good with this, with your abilities.
No, that's how I probably did it.
Unless the tentacle's pulling me, I'm still gonna...
No, tentacle had let you... So as soon as you hit that free open space, it like lets go.
Alright. Well, I can slow my descent. That's it.
Yes, there's a lot more of these tentacles around as well.
What do I land on?
You land in some of the goo.
Oh, I'm going to need new shoes. Oh, this is awful. This is awful.
And it's about knee high.
Okay, I was going to ask how deep he sank.
Gross.
What you see around you is... it's an extremely large open cavern. You do see in the distance around you in a circle about 100 yards, I would say 100 feet. Or no, yeah, let's do feet. I'm so used to doing yards now. 100 feet around you, several different openings like caverns. And you can't see what's beyond them. But they're at the level you would have to step up out of the goo that you're in to go through into any of these doors.
I pick the first one nearest to me, and I head that way.
Is the goo restrictive?
It's a little harder to walk through, so it's going to be difficult terrain.
I use my Phoenix Flight, and I just boost every 30 feet. So I'm just doing my jump, like, jumping 30 feet.
Instead of walking
through the goo. We're going to do it real time and wait. No, you're good. Yeah, you leaps and bounds. You see that some of that... the goo beneath you as fire hits it sort of like suds up a little bit. Like the waves when they crash in.
You're under a volcano. If you can't take a little bit of burst and
get out of the volcano.
You're in the wrong place. Yeah, you're in the wrong place.
And you step through the front door, and when you step through...
Wait, hold on. There's a bunch of doors?
There's just probably that you can see right now.
All right, I want to be very clear. I have no specific plan in what I'm doing. I just walk through a door.
You callbacks, bitch. Everybody, callbacks. The first door that you walk through appears. It takes you into what looks like almost like a kitchen setup, but like a prehistoric type thing where like there's like a brick oven. There seems to be some tables made of like old wood. They're mostly broken down, pots and pans here and there. Some utensils that you see littered around, but they're just covered in dirt and muck. Spider webs litter the ceilings here. These stone walls, this volcanic like wall.
Is there light in here?
There isn't that you can see, but you can see in this room.
Okay. All right, cool. I don't know how, but got it. I produce flame then. Somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have dark vision.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can see without flame.
Oh, okay, great.
Essie. William to Essie. Where the fuck am I?
And she comes out of you, and sort of she has this red aura she hasn't had before. It's like a bright red aura that is around her.
Hot.
And she's like, "We're home. This is it. This is it. Don't you feel it?"
Let's pretend that I'm very spiritual and very in tune with the elements of fire, and we'll say no.
Okay, check it out. New memories.
Oh, good.
I don't know what happened. This thing unlocked. This is my megalos. This is what helped me fight in the war against the Tegertians.
Sick nerd.
The my beast.
Sweet. How do we drive it?
We have to get in touch with the beast. The thing is, it's not. I cannot get in contact with it. Usually, I can call out to it. We're in the beast. This mountain, or excuse me, this volcano. Wow. Is it?
I've been in worse. So, where do we go for the control room or to talk to the beast?
Yeah, the control room. We have to go to it. This thing has changed quite a bit, though. There's a lot more rooms than I remember.
Hey, it's still a lady we're talking about here, Ashley. Come on now.
So, in all of the megalos, there are these beasts. That live in sort of inside of them that control that. We have like a link with the beast. And if you think of like a snail where you have the beast in the show, the volcano is the shell for this creature.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it is. What you should see, it's so powerful. We don't have to use it, but if we do, we've got this.
I feel like I for one will use this. Maybe not for what we need it for, but I got a plan.
I don't know that you can use it.
Well, but this is like your Cadillac, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, And you and me was... Anyways, where do I go next? We'll worry about where we're driving this bad boy.
I can't ride in your fucking giant snail, but you can ride in my body for fucking 600 years.
Yeah. Yeah, come on now.
So, the reason why you can't use it is you're not the Prime Invoker. Have we talked about that? Prime Invokers?
you're just a sidekick.
You mentioned it, and I specifically remember ignoring you and saying that it's fine. I'm the one true god, or something to that effect.
William,
no, we didn't talk about Prime Invokers.
So
we didn't talk about it.
So the Prime Invokers, we are, and it was myself and the Immortals, our crew, those guys, right? My pals. We were the Prime, the most powerful. Now it has passed down, presumably. I don't know who the others are now. But,
oh, is that what they were talking about, like ascending at the school?
No, because everyone has to ascend. Like, everyone has to go through the test to be an invoker, but there's always one invoker who's, like, the big, powerful.
Oh.
That was me for Festus. Yeah.
Oh, you're the... I get it. The teacher's pet. Nailed it. All right. That's who I want to be.
That's a little hurtful, but you got it.
Well, it... But does it fit?
It fits. The shoe fits. The sloppy wet shoe fits.
Okay, that was hurtful. That's our relationship now. Okay, that's fine.
I feel great in here. It's like a different me. It's like I'm awake now. I mean, I'm not saying that you didn't make me feel alive. I'm just saying it's a little constricting.
Hey, this body was rated for one and has been rolling for two.
And I appreciate it.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. So where do we go next?
We've just got to find the control room.
I'm
not sure which store it is.
I spent 6 months in the Forbidden Forest drinking unicorn blood so that you could live inside my body, Eshi. How dare you?
Yeah. All right, I go to the next room. If there's no discernible reason... Like, how about I walk out and do a perception check? Is there a discernible difference?
I'm not going to take you through... So, you go through a series of rooms. Some appear to be like a bunk room or... a meditation room or whatever, but then you get to one along this.
Do any of them appear to be cellars?
In what way? Like storage goods?
Is there any booze here?
No, I mean, if there were casts, they're all empty and broken. Yeah,
I had to ask. Well, hold on.
Wait.
Because if they've been here for a long time,
yes.
They would age really well. So if I see some, then it's fine. If there's none here, it is what it is.
There is... Oh, man, that's good. There is one cask that is not broken. That is in this one
Scorching room. Scotch.
That's pretty good.
Well, so...
So is it a cask? Random. Or is it like a tiny cask?
No, it's a cask. A cask.
Okay. I pull out my tankard of ever filling up. And I dump it out, and it fills up again. Fuck. Is there any other tankards around here?
Yeah, there's several, like, dirty ones. Just saw them kind of
put that one
around.
Well. I grab a dirty one, flame the inside. I don't really give a shit. And then I break this cask open and pour it.
And as she kind of stops, she says, wait, you don't even know what this is.
What? Eshi. It's in a cask. And you haven't seen this thing forever. This is the definition of aged. I'm drinking it. And I crack it open and I pour it into the mug. The stein.
And you take a drink?
Well, I poured it into the stein. I wonder, what does it look like? Describe this.
It is it's extremely red and it's almost bubbling itself. Like small bubbles and pop.
Is it,
pop,
does it
like
feel very hot?
Spritz.
Like very
it's
hot?
It's warm. It's just warm.
Okay, I drink it.
Oh my god.
I drink a little.
You're dead. You're dead.
You just died. No.
Just a little.
Let's do this. It is...
What proof is it?
I haven't decided yet because there's a thing I want to incorporate.
Okay.
So I think
this
will go very well.
I'm drinking the fucking cactus right now is what I'm doing.
Roll a constitution saving throw for me.
Fuck it. Yeah, let's do it.
He's good at those.
Yeah, I'm not bad at those if I roll well. Okay, so that is a 20 modded. Dirty 20.
That's great. So you drink this. In your veins, you see like your veins that you don't know exist because you've never seen them actually, but you begin to see, like, as it runs through your body, it's red. It like lights up your veins red all through your body very quickly, and then it disappears.
Hell yeah.
And you feel 5 years younger.
Does quick mental math on his age. All right, another
595 years old.
Now I'm only 635.
And as she stares at you for a moment.
Yeah.
And then how do you react?
She stares at me. I feel super young.
Yes, sir. Listen, I don't mean to say this lightly. This is the first time you've been wrong.
And I take another drink.
And she looks, and she takes your mug. She's like, let me see that.
Hey.
And she takes a drink.
Since when can you just take stuff out of my hand? This place is crazy.
She's like, I told you, I feel so alive
hot.
In here.
Hot, nerd. I love it.
And she hands you the mug, and she's like, no one's, this will make so much money.
Your turn.
This is.
Well, fuck that. I feel stronger.
You see it run through hers, but then you see, like, it goes from, like, the red to, like, a green color in hers, and then disappears.
See, yours turned green.
This is a problem.
Yeah, it seems... No, green's never good in your veins.
She
you
snaps
have a central nervous system.
She snaps her fingers, and it's a red flame that goes to a green flame. This is a problem.
Dude, green worms, really cool. I want that. How do I get that? Is it stronger? Is it perverse? I'm down for perverse. I'm not mad at it. Ask Mrs. B's
prime.
Sister.
Prime. Nope. I know. I was there. No. It was. Oh. It was there somehow. Something.
Yeah.
Wait. Hold on.
Should take a
magic.
Moment.
Magic can't get rid of some things.
I'm really sorry about all of that.
Yeah, that's fine. You happening. Don't ever ask me, but hey, we're here now. We're here now.
Yeah, no. You should just like play a movie in your head next time.
It's part of life.
Will knows that Eshie's watching, and Eshie likes to watch, and Will likes to be watched.
All right. So you're the prime, and that's why you have green fire?
No. You should have blue fire.
Oh, I'm the prime, and that's why I have red fire?
No. Everyone gets red fire who lives.
That's fair.
Red fire is basic.
So green
shit,
is like
William.
The bitch fire then, right? Like you're...
I don't know what
we
green
don't
is.
Know. Okay, great. All right, so I grab, I take my mug, I fill it up, and then I grab another mug and I fill it up. Where next?
You might as well drink one of those mugs down, refill it while you're here.
Yeah.
I'll come back. I don't have a container. Actually, do I have containers? Hold on.
And what this is gonna do is, I don't know if you.
I have a potion of fire juice, Devin. You know what that is? Oh, that's the fire resistance thing we got?
Yeah, but what this is going to do is it's going to give you fire resistance for 1 hour, the thing you just drank.
I already have fire resistance, so...
Okay, so let's make it... Let's make you...
Fire immunity while he drinks it!
Let's just say you absorb half damage from fire. Fire damage.
Oh, hell yeah.
We'll do a quarter. Half seems like a lot. A quarter damage.
I mean, fuck it. Oh.
It's your
DM.
Yeah,
does that work with his own moves? Maybe while he drinks it, he can do his moves without HP cost.
Okay, I like that. That's good. Nasty. That's a good flavor.
And it's temporary.
But then
it
can't last an hour. Then if it's that though, maybe it lasts a minute.
Wait,
so you can just drink it before?
Yeah,
a fight,
drink it before whatever
really
you need.
Okay, nerds. Great. Is that what it does?
Yeah. So, Dwayne, you can have whatever it is you want.
All right, cool.
You don't want to give you the
world. I uncork my potion of healing and potion of fire juice and pour them out because they're the only bottles I have. And I fill those two up and cork them.
See, now I've been imagining this whole time that Will doesn't wear armor because he has so many flasks on him at all times that it serves as armor. So maybe that's my presumption.
Flask
armor.
Yeah,
I assumed he at least had one in his coat pocket.
He's always... Right.
Flask mail, yes.
It seems fucked up to just do... I'm in a flask full of it.
I like it. Yeah, and you see load those up. And I think Eshie does the same thing to a couple. She's like, that's not a bad idea. And so she's able to fill a couple of little vials she has for potions. She's like, let's... something's going on. Let's just get this over with. tired of this.
Yeah.
Now she's all.
Will walks out with his two steins.
Fire now. She's all like, I feel still alive. This is great. We're next home. Room. This is the best place. Green fire. This fucking sucks. Let's get out of here.
You make it through a few other rooms. Room. Nothing of note.
I'm just like sipping. Alternate sipping.
Then you walk into a room that has a long hallway. This is unlike any other thing. But there's a lot of like patterns and drawings like carved into this volcanic wall.
Do I recognize you walk along. Them?
No.
Okay.
And as she kind of runs her fingers along it, as if she is just like recalling it or like what it's about, and suddenly her mood kind of changes to an even like a more jovial type. Just kind of remembering, like, reminiscing as she walks along. She's like, it's been so long. I don't know what's going to happen here, but something's different.
Yeah, I'm here, baby.
I'm just excited that we could be here.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thank you for getting me here. I don't know
a
lot about what
happened. This was the whole goal, right? To take you home?
And she stops. And she turns to you. And she hadn't thought about that. And she says... Yeah, I guess it is.
You know, this is like probably where we part, right?
And she goes from that smile, that jovialness, to turning, and she's like, "I mean, we're still gonna work together. We still have a mission, it seems."
Sure, and I'm still tied to your memories. That doesn't seem like that's going away anytime soon. But I don't think you have to ride shotgun in my caboose anymore.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
All right.
Is Caboose the front or back? Top or bottom? I don't
know. Will loves a good shotgun to the caboose.
I don't think it's Caboose. I think Caboose is not the right. I think it's Magma you're thinking of. That's the word that you mean.
I think you don't write shotgun anymore.
I think is the word I was looking for.
Anyways. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. To the actual bridge. Sure. You continue to walk, and what's strange about this room is there are like these tiny holes. It's almost like if you're at the beach, you know, those little sand crabs that like send up the bubbles. It's kind of like that on these walls where there's little holes everywhere on the wall. But in the front of this thing, there is this large, what looks like just opening. It's not necessarily glass, but it's also not stone. And you can see out into the town that you were in as you came into the Red Eye. And you can see, it's like you're peering out from the volcano. And you can even see Beatrice and Fume as they kind of walk around and breeze. They're very small looking, but...
Oh, they're really far away.
All yes. Right. Really far away, and she says, this is going to be a problem, though. If we ever need to use this thing, I mean... A whole town is built here now. It wasn't like this before.
And?
Well, I mean, we can't... If we need this, you can't just, like, uproot this entire thing.
First of all, I can see the town through the glass. Right?
Yes.
All right. Hey, if I uproot this thing, that doesn't mean I have to destroy the town. Like when you drive a cart, you don't have to run over the small child on the road.
No, so remember, some of the houses are built onto the side of this volcano.
Yeah. They're now our soldiers, Eshi.
So you're just going to take them with you? You think you're just going to boot... we're going to boot this thing up, and they're just just like sidecarring it for the trip?
It's that or get off. But listen, we've got to fight these fire giants, and then we've got to go crush the KNG. So we've got... like an agenda, okay?
You think you're gonna use this to fight a fire giant?
I guess not. I'm gonna destroy the KNG with it, though.
Maybe
that's my plan.
I feel like there's probably something.
A train ticket.
That dragon chick's probably gonna have a whole army of the sleep things. That's what this is for. That's what this thing will help us do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll do yours first, then we'll do mine.
So, you're saying that using the megalos on a fire giant is the equivalent of swatting a fly with, like, a grenade launcher?
Yes. That's pretty cool. She's like, you...
There's, like, ROE in place. Like, you can't do that. That's a war crime. Like, if you do that to the fire giants, we will we will pay repercussions.
It will, yes, the times will reverse.
The UN's going to be pissed.
Boy.
No, you can't,
let's
you
do a real quick, so that's happening, do a real quick jump over.
Oh, okay.
Fume and B, what do we got going on in town?
What's in town?
What a segue into...
I just want to see, because we saw them, and here's where you are. I think you're in, like, this market area, and they...
I love that, Devin. You're the best team ever.
I don't believe that.
I do.
I actually do.
Nobody
I'm
going
to go to sleep
like,
so much better
sick
now.
Transitions like that. That is fucking golden.
Well, yeah. And I think we leave you talking to Ashley about how you're going to destroy... You're like, no, you're really trying to convince her how you could use this to destroy Fire Giant, and we swap over to Beatrice, Fume, and Breeze.
I love it.
One thing we love at Lawful Stupid, among the other things we love at Lawful Stupid, is spreading the word about your business. Or maybe you want to tell your sweet, sweet grandma that you love her for the world to hear. We want to give you that chance. If you're a business and want to get your services on the air, or just want to tell a loved one a personal message, head on over to lawfulstupid.org/message-in-a-bottle. There you can take around 250 words to say what you want. Business ads are $20. Personal ads are $10. Tell the world what you have to hear with Lawful Stupid's Message in a Bottle.
Market area. I imagine Miss B has her arm wrapped around Lucian's and okay, like no. Dragging about and trying to pick clothes out. Or what about this new thing?
It's a grass skirt because they're very Hawaiian here. Like that's the feel. They're very islandy, so they don't wear a lot of clothing.
Yeah, the problem with that is that it's not very flame resistant and rolls around, and I can see some complications arising.
Put storage for later. More fun. Well, what about charms or something instead?
Should you want to buy some knickknacks?
Yeah, we can maybe find Will a hat or a monocle or something.
The very fun antiquing episode.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Let's go. Let's see what's around. Want me to roll perception, Devin?
You don't have to.
Okay.
I think you stumble upon... There's going to be a slight pause in the notes because this just came to me.
What's the name of your... It's Nova, right?
Novaterra?
Novaterrian Pickers.
Novaterrian Pickers. Welcome to Novaterrian Pickers. Things from all over time and space.
I love seeing this. This is way back from before the Dragon Curse. You used to see these mom and pop stands would have these signs out front. That's a real nice piece of history right there. I tell you what, how much would it cost for you to part with this? What's the lowest you could do?
Two things. An arm and a leg.
I understand you, buddy. Let's try to get a little bundle going, okay? What else you got here? Maybe I would be interested in some more pieces. Maybe we can pull some items together and make a deal.
You know, I am out here selling stuff. I just don't think I'm actually going to sell anything. I think I like to think I'm going to sell some things, and I just don't really want to sell anything.
It is literally my job to make you change your mind. So how about this? How about will you part with any worthless piece of shit in here? What is it? This is a dead mouse in a trap that you set and forgot about. Can I give you a nickel for this just to break the ice?
You know what? You give me six and you got a deal.
Six nickels.
Listen,
six
you got
cents.
A barter. You can't just let people run off. That's how the game's played, right?
I'm just trying to break the ice. All right, here you go. Here's six copper. Here you go. Now we've made a deal. And I shake his hand very vigorously.
And he says, okay, now we can start playing.
Now we can start playing. All so- right, so how much did it cost you for this mom and pop shop? Okay, that bit's went too long.
That went way too far. So you are walking around, and there is a dwarf in a green top hat, a green pinstriped suit, and he sees you all walk by, and he says, "Oh, my friend!" Shoot, that's not it. Hold on. It's Jersey. Bring it to Shane. Give it to me. Who's the? Hey,
Wachowski.
I got a few things for you. Come to Wachowski's shop. Oh, it's good to see you guys again.
Oh, it's an old Wachowski.
Yeah. So, last time we left, I said I would get some things for you, and if you had some things to trade, I would give you those things back.
Yeah, we did have that conversation. What'd you find for us, bud?
Well, I got these tiny white scales, and he pulls out like a handful of these, just like albino, white as snow, a bunch of scales. And he's like, "You said you needed scales that can heal people, and so I got you some of these scales." And he puts them like in a velvety bag and pulls the strings. And then he ruffles through another bag he's got behind. He said, "Your friend, I think, said he wanted a parchment, something you see it in your head and you transfer it to this parchment and it stays there." So that
I think wasn't it something to be able to write to people at long distances? Wasn't that what it was?
I thought it was more artistic talent that he was trying to get the image in your head onto.
It was to put a map on paper without having to do the actual drawing of a map.
Oh, okay. So yeah,
because he has a map of the cave.
It was to get an image on the paper. Yeah.
Yep.
And then one of yous said something about an item to punch good, like a big.
If you could make if anything, you could make me punch good. I would
a real big nunchucker. Okay. I could not find the nunchucks. Didn't
okay.
Wasn't lucky there, but I do have some. I don't know if you're still interested.
What you got?
What do you need? You look a little different.
Yeah, I died.
Well, you probably could have used these scales at that time.
No, it was really a different situation. You got anything that I need what's good for me
and we will, so what we'll do is, if you want to think about that, this is the time for you guys to get something pretty good. We'll transition back. Finally the debate is settled that you're not going to use the megalos to crush a fire giant.
We'll talk about it more later.
Suddenly there is the sound of a stone grinding loudly. There's almost like a screech and like a deep, deep noise as the entrance you came through shuts. And the room seems to almost expand that you're in. And the glass kind of window, or I don't know what we're calling it. We're calling volcanic glass. You can see through, is what we'll call it. It expands as well. So almost like your vision of the town grows as this room opens up to about 80 feet in diameter. And you hear a and it sounds just like Eshi. It is. It's like the voice of Eshi. But Eshi standing in front of you, this red silhouetted figure, or red, you know, aura coming off of her. And she looks around. And suddenly on her hands, she tightens her fists. These giant gauntlets that are like from elbow length up to around her hands, both of them like shine onto her body, and they're like a bright gold with like these red lines that are all through, like from the knuckles all the way back to the elbow, like each kind of touching a knuckle as it goes back, and they connect to the elbow portion, and they begin to glow as well. It's almost like she doesn't have hands anymore. They're just like these orbs on her hands. And she says, "This is probably what I was worried about."
It seems like you have gauntlets. I don't understand why you're worried.
From out of the ceiling, you see something kind of open up. Some light kind of comes down into this darkened, like a darker area. And a tentacle lets down Eshi, and the tentacle disappears. And standing in front of you is an exact replica of Eshi. And she says, glad you could make it to the party, but there can only be one prime. And I think we know who that's going to be.
William stretches.
We're going doing a couple side benders. Get those lats open.
You gotta get limber before I beat a bitch up.
For ease of understanding of who these people are, we're going to call them our Eshi and good Eshi, which is William's, and bad Eshi, which is
might be some bad Eshi. All right. All right, bad Eshi. Eshi 2. You want to go?
What do you mean go? We're not going anywhere.
You said there can only be one. You said there can only be one.
There can only be one of us. Yeah. And you don't need to be a part of this.
Eshi's too pretty to fight. I got this.
You mean I'm too pretty to fight?
Okay, yeah. You're very pretty too, but I'm still gonna...
Listen, no Will, fisticuffs. Okay. If you can, if she says your name, it's almost like you guys have some familiarity. Will, if you can just step to the side and let us duke this out.
You know what? Yeah, sure. He sits down Indian style. Go ahead, DM. Talk to yourself.
Okay. And so what happens is, so suddenly, Bad Eshi also kind of like throws her arms down, except same gauntlets, but now hers are glowing a blue. And when she does that, Good Eshi's turn from the red to a green that she has. And Bad Eshi says, well... this ought to be fun. And so, roll initiative. I guess, you're going to be in this room anyways. So some things are going to happen to you, whether or not you want to.
I'm going to fight. I'd be sassy. All right, let's see. Roll initiative. That'd be a 10. Your boy is slow.
Okay. All right, so we're going to try to do this. This won't be the using narrative combat, but this will be more... a little more cinematic if we can.
Okay.
All right. Cool. First upon is the... it's good Eshi.
Made of fire.
So she is going to launch out, and she's going to make an attack, two attacks, with her her gauntlets. The first one is going to hit, and it's going to hit Bad Eshi in the face. It's going to knock her against the wall, and a crack is made against that. Bad Eshi kind of wipes the blood from her face and smiles and stands back up and kind of flexes her shoulders around. And she says, oh, getting right to it, huh? And it's her turn. So she is going to take and... you're going to see her, like, whistle something. You hear her whistle something. A tune you
Someone's
haven't heard.
Dragon sword?
It's kind of ominous, all right? What you notice is that the holes on the wall, kind of those little tiny holes, begin to open just a little bit more, about fist size. And then she will like almost supercharge herself, and this blue flame goes all around her in about a five foot radius. And then it's your turn.
Okay. Cool. We're level 9, right? Is that what you said we were?
Yes.
That's what my sheet says. Great. I'm gonna use my new ability to invoke elemental.
Okay.
I'm gonna turn into a fire elemental.
Snap.
Yep.
Okay.
So I turn into a fire anchor form. It's not quite a fire elemental. Basically, I just become the element of fire in place of my body. I imagine I grow in size, not being a large creature, but still just more buff, weird, amorphous flame type monster.
Hotter version of yourself, one might say.
Well, hold on. You can't prove on perfection. Then I'm going to rush over there and stand next to her.
And she's going to say...
And
oh, go ahead.
If she's... Nope. All right, that's it. That's all I got, because I used my action to turn into this thing.
Okay, and she's not even going to look at you yet, if you're just standing there.
I got nothing else for you, baby.
She says, Will, she will say, Will, last chance. kind of eyes you.
I can't speak, so back off.
And so then she's going to run over, and she is going to...
She's
going to
run by me?
Yep.
Prompting an attack of opportunity?
Yes, she doesn't expect you to hit her.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to see how strong she is. Shit, that rolled off. Nope, well, I miss. Unless her AC is an 11.
No.
I doubt it is.
No. She doesn't even notice you, like, even attack her, then it just whiffs so hard behind her, and she's already, like... This girl is on fire. And she...
This girl is on fire.
Thank you. This episode brought to you by music. And she runs over, and she is going to just give a 1-2 punch at Eshi. And good Eshi, I don't know if it's because she's been working with you, but it has, like, her prowess and for battle has not waned. And she's able to quickly dodge underneath one and turn her body to miss the other. And she is going to return the swings. But it seems like this Eshi, the bad Eshi, has all the same moves she does. And so in a very mirror form, she does the same attacks, but the bad Eshi is able to dodge that. At this point, you begin to see that the walls are turning blue with some energy. You're not sure what that is. It is your turn.
I rush over to her flank, and I'm going to take a couple swings at her, try and hit her. Fucking rolling low as shit. Nope. Whiff.
Would you try? What'd you do?
So it's just called touch, and so basically you try to hit them with your firearms.
Okay, and I think she's like sensing you as well, like the heat from you, like it's just she's in tune with all of it and is dodging it. On her turn, she actually will take one of her gauntlets. She's going to put them together, and they form into this giant hammer with a 10-foot radius, and she's just going to spin in a circle. 17, that one hits, and then 25s that hit you.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, and she's gonna hit both of you, and you're gonna take 3d12 damage.
Bring it on.
Actually, 12, 13, 14, 15 plus physical, so 21 damage.
Okay.
Fire damage specifically.
Okay.
And so you feel this. So this blue flame that hits you, it burns. It burns much more than regular fire does.
Does it overcome fire immunities?
Immune. So are you immune currently?
In this form, I'm immune. Because it's a fire elemental.
Take half that's damage. Half damage.
She came in, I was like, so we all do fire damage.
So we're all doing
it. And we're all resistant.
Well, so you take, even though in this form, you're going to take half damage.
Sure, we'll take half. I figured you might stick me with something like that.
And then, that knocks you and...
She did like 5 fire damage for hitting
against
me.
The walls, yeah. And then she kind of laughs and says, just give it up. I'm the best. And it's your turn, Will.
You know, I don't have a lot of strength in this form. Whoops. I was just going to do that. Son of a bitch. Okay, well, so this form sucks for this fight. So I'm going to dissipate it with my bonus action. And then I'm Will again. And I'm going to grab this bitch.
Okay.
I'm just going to grapple her. She can contest it.
It's a natural 20. Did you roll a natural?
What? No, I rolled a 19, but that's a 24.
I rolled a natural 20.
Wait, athletics, hold on. 24 plus proficiency, 27.
It's entirely plausible that she would have more than plus 7 to her athletics.
Yeah, but
I mean, it is.
So I rolled a crit, so I'm going to say you grab onto her, and she's able to just quickly burst out of it. I think maybe even like she's got the hammer up front, sure. And you can't quite get your hands around. It's too much.
Sure.
And so she moves. She just turns at that point. It's back at her. She is going to go down to one knee, and the walls that have been glowing blue for so long shoot flames into this room all over. Make a dexterity saving throw for me.
Oh, those are real bad. I have rolled a zero.
Did you?
I rolled a nat one. I have a minus one to dex.
Is that as a fire elemental? Are you?
No, I it's his will. The fire elemental actually has better dexterity.
All right, stand by. Okay, so
I had to take a hit somewhere, and it wasn't going to be my charisma. That goes against.
You're not wrong. So you're going to take 5d12.
Does this damage overcome resistances? Does it ignore resistances?
Yes. This blue flame that attacks you.
This could be a problem.
You take 35 damage.
Okay. That's going to hurt. Ah, things aren't supposed to be hot.
You see Eshi, good Eshi, she is able to like do a flip behind like there's like these two seats like in the front of this control center area. But you see that her arm as she jumps over is caught by this fire and you hear her scream out, ah! And the bad Eshi says, just end it now. Tap out. Call me the best and we'll end this thing. And it is her turn. And she's going to go around to get Eshi. Her gauntlets turn back into regular gauntlets. And she's going to do two attacks. She's able to punch good Eshi in the chest with one. But Eshi's able to catch the second with her gauntlets and kind of veer off that punch. And she's going to go for an uppercut to knock her back. And she does hit her with one into that glass, that viewing glass that you have. And as she does that, this green flame, or blue flame, kind of covers the front of it. And there is like a tiny crack you see that appears as she hits that glass. And it is your turn, Will.
All right. So she's, how far away from me is she?
15 feet. 20, I say 20
cool.
feet.
Cool. I'm going to step forward 10 feet. And with my chain, I'm just going to make an attack against her, and then I'm going to use Blazing and Snare. So let's start with the attack. Which is a 20,
yes,
non-natural.
Yes.
All right, so that's going to be... Man, I haven't used this weapon in a while. Let's see, 1d8 plus strength. 6 damage.
Okay.
It overcomes magical resistances, but it's going to be 6 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And then I'm going to use Blazing and Stare, so I set my chain to blaze, and the target must make a strength saving throw with disadvantage.
Ooh. Okay, that is a 12.
That's going to fail.
Okay.
So
what's that do to me?
10 feet away, she is grappled and is going to take 1d4 fire damage.
Okay.
At the start of her turn, she'll take 5 fire damage as long as she's grappled.
Okay, so...
So she takes 1 fire damage from that.
Got it.
Doesn't do much. Just keeps them busy.
Everyone counts. Anything else on your turn?
Nope, that'll do it.
Okay. You have her held. So on her turn, she has to try to get out of this, right? She has to try to break it if she wants out.
She doesn't have to. She just has 0 movement speed.
Okay, she is too far.
She can attack if she has ranged sup, or she can try to break the grapple that my chain has on her.
So she will turn this into a hammer again, and she's going to swing from where she's at you.
Hammer's got reach.
Yes. And so you, that is 25 to hit.
Well, let me check because I'm in Will's form. Yeah, no, that hits.
that hits. Will be 18 damage.
Bludgeoning. Okay. Yeah. We've determined that resistances don't matter here. Okay. Not great. Eshi, anytime now.
Yeah, so Eshi says, okay, we've got the same power. Let's check this out. And so what she does is she will take her hammer. Like, she'll put her hands together for her hammer. And she gets to roll with advantage, I believe, for each of these. Because you've got her grappled or no?
Nope. No, it doesn't do that at all.
Oh, well.
I can just pull her around.
You're thinking of the restrained condition.
You're thinking of restrained. Okay. Yeah, it's not that.
Either way, one of these is a crit. So what she's going to do is she's going to take this hammer. It's almost like she's just like, you ever seen if someone throw discus, if you haven't, man, what twisting power they have.
That's really cool.
She's going to rear back, and she's going to smash this bad Eshi in the chest, and it does some again, you see the crack behind her forming even larger. And then what she's going to do is she's going to take a small cut of her, of that glass, kind of pull it out, and she's going to cut her own shoulder just a little bit, and from that cut explodes this green fire, like magic, that is going to attack into the same spot she just cut on this bad Eshi, and she's going to take 3d12 damage.
This is intense.
And that's pretty good. And so bad Eshi is now, you see some blood trickling from her mouth. And she's got some cuts on her face, and she's like, she's kind of breathing pretty heavy. And it is her turn. And she will make that. Oh, no, it's Will's turn, excuse me.
Yeah, nope. So I've got to grapple with a chain, so I can't use a chain anymore as an attack, but I will. I'm going to just use a chain to light her up, so she needs to she just needs to take damage.
Do it.
And I need to take damage to my HP. This sucks. Should drink that drink. Yep. But then it takes an action to do, and I don't seem like I have the bandwidth for that right now. I have a feeling she's going to resist all my fire damage. She's going to take 19 fire damage.
Though. And she kind of cackles at you as you do that and says, yeah. You think the power that I have of you, that's going to hurt me? And then she's like, oh, like she forgot she was in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, seems like it hurts a little.
And so it is her turn again, and she is going to try to break away this time.
Cool. We got a contest.
We got a contest.
That's a 25.
Fuck. She wins.
She's strong.
Nah.
So when she does, that's her action, yep. Correct?
Yep.
That's her action.
And she...
Now she can move.
But now she just looks... Now she just menacingly looks at you, and her hammer goes back into two gauntlets, and it is good as she's turn.
Ooh.
Good as she... is about to attack, and she looks over at you, and she says, "Will, I think we need each other." And you can respond.
Hot.
You know, sometimes you want to end an episode on a cool thing, and you give somebody a cool tee up, and they no. So she runs and she jumps at you. With the hammer, she as she jumps into you, she forms into the hammer. Suddenly, Will, you have those gauntlets and that hammer teed up, and the momentum of her body spins you around and around. I will give you advantage
to win.
And that is 24. That will hit. And you are going to do.
Batter's up, bitch!
Boop, boop, boop. Where'd it go? Where's the hammer swing? You're gonna do 39 damage as you swing and swing. I think she was grappled for a moment. She broke that, being cocky, and you turn and turn and tee up and right into the ribs. You hear a crack as she goes into the glass. Glass completely spiderwebs, and as it shatters down, she doesn't fall out the window. She falls down, and she's unconscious.
Oh, cool. Will brings the hammer up again. You're gonna fucking swing again.
As you go to do that, you feel your body jerk back in pain, and the hammer releases, And as it goes to fall to the ground, it disappears. And you feel this searing pain in your head and your body. And it feels like you're being torn into two different people. It's almost like your arms are outstretched. And now you have this green flame and this red flame fighting each other inside of you. And then the blue flame from the bad Eshi comes up into your body as well. And all of this energy is building up. And you scream out. And that's where we're in the episode.
Hut.
Hey.
I didn't know you were going for a big moment, man.
No, I love it.
You're like, I think we need each other. We've always needed each other. What's the difference?
We've always needed, and then you're both dead. And you go to the spirit.
Yeah, well.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to another episode.
I love that you did that, because my next move was to, like, tackle her through the window.
Forget it. Here we go.
I was like, I'm running out of ideas.
Let's go see my friends.
Yep.
Take it away, folks. Let them know where they can spend money safely on us.
Hey, if you would... if you would like to support us, you can go to store.lawfulstupid.org and hit up our Etsy shop. Or you can go to lawfulstupid.org and you can go up to the website and hit support us and click affiliations and then click through to some of those banners or use the Lawful Stupid code. Get you some sweet dice. So many ways to support us. Thank you very much.
Or if you'd also like to support us, you can go to patreon.lawfulstupid.org and hand us $1 a month and get, like, cool, extra sweet secret content. We got some fun stuff back there. We even have content getting ready for C4 hiding about.
It's true.
Enough about supporting us. We suck. You should support this month's charity, which is...
Same one it has been, my friend. Adoption Exchange.
The Adoption Exchange? Yeah, oh, hell
January's
yeah.
January's a long month. It's got 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while. Okay, so I've rolled a 9. So that's going to be $9 coming from us to the Adoption Exchange. Really great organization to help kids that need parents meet parents and meet kids. And that's the best thing. And you can support them at your table by rolling for humanity. It's a really simple thing. If you can't afford a D20, do a D10. If you can't afford a D10, do a D6. If you can't afford a D6, flip a coin. It's a D2. It's fine. Whatever you can do, roll for humanity. It's a great way for you at your table to keep on bringing the heroism and the heroics to the real world once you're done with the fantasy time, which is just really worthwhile. So let me know what you rolled. Use the hashtag roll for humanity on Twitter, and I will believe in you as a person.
Perfect. All right. On to the good news story. What everyone really waits for. Wonder how many people just skip to the end here, the good news story bit.
So many. They're like, oh, dude, I hate this stupid D&D podcast, but I love this good stuff, this good news
bit. Hey, we get them downloads. Yeah, okay. Care. Downloads a download, baby.
Whatever you're here for.
All right.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy.
I agree. This is the headline for the good news story today. It's a video, but I feel like there's a lot of things we can do with this. Watch woman save bees by rescuing hives from old buildings with her bare hands. Watch woman saves... So, anyway, I'll let you guys do that. I have a thing, but... So, Avon, how sweet is this? How sweet is it?
Well, this woman, she's, like, adopted her own bear cub, right? So she's borrowing some bear mitts, right? So she could pretend to be a bear to help this bear cub out and save the bees. But they're secretly after the honey.
Oh, you Pooh know. Bear method there, huh? Okay.
Yep.
So just read me this title one more time so I know how to break it apart.
So it's a video. That's why it says Watch Woman. So she's not like a watch woman, but she could be. Watch Woman Save Bees by Rescuing Hives from Old Buildings with Her Bare Hands.
All right, listen, I don't know how to tell you this, but she's a fucking champion, and here's why. Two reasons. One, she's upholding the very things we believe in America. The right to have bare arms on your hands. Mm-hmm. So she's got that going for her, which is great. But not only that, is she's saving bees by taking hives into this building and filling them up with bees. She's the new queen bee, baby. This is the new super villain. Trump's got nothing on her, man. This is Queen Bee. You better watch out.
You said it very.
This is what starts World War III, okay? You saw Hitler and you're like, damn, he did a lot of fucked up shit. You never seen Queen Bee? You never seen Queen Bee. Without bees, we would all die. And she's in control of them all!
I feel like we're leading into something here a little bit with what Shane might have to say.
Yeah.
I just can't disagree with Dwayne. I think this is the least American thing I've ever seen, because when I think of America, I think of a great nation built on capitalism. I believe in the free markets. I believe that when you try to endeavor, make a venture, you are competing against the best. It is survival of the fittest, and cream rises to the top. Bees, obviously, can't compete in their market. Frankly, if they were better, they wouldn't be dying. They would. Why do we have to bail out the bees? Like, all these corporations and all these Wall Street elites with our tax dollars. I think it's absurd. And I think that it is the start of a new wave of communism and socialism in this country that will extend to the animals, will extend to the plants, it will extend to the very fiber of this nation, and I will not stand for it. And I implore you, no matter what sweet dreams you are having, the alarm clock is ringing and you need to wake up.
Bail out the bees. Bail out the bees. Bail out. And with that, we say, we love you.
Darwin is rolling in his grave.
Love you.
Yeah, we love you. Bye.
My new unique fuck the bees stance.
Oh, boy.